The parable in our gospel reading today is fairly self-explanatory, I think. Jesus is suggesting that there is virtue in persistence. It's good to be persistent in prayer, and it's good to be persistent in the pursuit of justice. And as an illustration, the parable tells the story of a poor widow who keeps on pestering a rather uncaring judge until she finally gets the judgment owed to her. Once again, it's a person on the fringes, a widowed woman who shows virtue and does the right thing. Widowed women who had not been taken in by their deceased husbands' families, therefore left to fend for themselves in poverty, were low on the social scale in the time of Jesus. Drawing attention to righteous persons on the fringes is, of course, a theme in the stories of Jesus. These persons are the heroes of the gospel. Samaritans, poor widows, tax collectors, prostitutes. In our story today, the poor widow shows persistence, something that's generally counted as a virtue and something that's linked in the Christian scriptures to the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, as we consider the virtue of persistence as a basic Christian attribute, we might take a moment to think about the way in which we should deal with such attributes. It's very tempting to glorify or to dogmatize spiritual gifts. As soon as we start to talk about them and to admire them, we find ourselves on thin ice. By the time this sermon is finished, some of you may feel that I have glorified persistence, although that is not at all what I intend to do. We've had a rather blatant example of such glorification this week in all of the hoopla surrounding the rescue of the Chilean miners. Now, there's no question that the rescue was an exceedingly fine achievement. There is no question that it deserves a response of profound gratitude and joy. But does it have to turn a group of ordinary miners into national, if not international, superheroes? Does it have to become the defining focus for an entire nation's sense of identity and pride? Does it have to engender a fever of religious ritual with various faith groups competing to give their God credit for the miraculous rescue? All of this began, of course, with the exercise of basic spiritual qualities on the part of the trapped miners as well as the rescuers. They needed faith, hope, self-control, courage. They certainly needed persistence. Day after day, they called on these gifts of the Spirit to make it through their ordeal. We've admired their persistence. Now we want to celebrate it, but apparently we don't know the difference between genuine celebration and superficial celebrity. And so the miners have become celebrities, and they are in danger of losing their identities as ordinary human beings who embraced an opportunity to let their spirits shine. In the stories of Jesus, the characters are not meant to become celebrities, even though their character is meant to be celebrated. After hearing today's parable, we might ask ourselves, how can we celebrate the gift of persistence without turning that gift into a moral prescription or a prerequisite for a Nobel Prize? And I want to be able to talk about persistence with you, or any other gift of the Spirit, without provoking a response which says, in effect, I can't live up to that. You're just making me feel guilty and inadequate with your pious rhetoric about spiritual excellence. Now, with an awareness of this built-in predicament, let's plow ahead and think a bit more about the theme of our gospel reading today. It's important to note that persistence is here linked with prayer. The parable is said to be, explicitly, said to be about our need to pray and not lose heart. In the teaching of Jesus, knowing what to pray for is more important than knowing how to pray. Our parable implies that what we ought to pray for, first and foremost, is to pray for justice. The widow in the parable was probably living in poverty. She was likely hungry. She may have been suffering from ill health. But her persistence is spent on seeking justice. This is consistent with other teachings of Jesus about prayer. The famous prayer of Jesus, the one that has often been referred to as the Lord's Prayer, this famous prayer of Jesus is laced more than anything with justice themes. It prays for the coming of God's reign on earth as already established in the ideal realm of heaven, where everything is based on justice, equity, compassion. It prays for daily bread for us. Give us this day our daily bread, not for me, for us. A fair distribution of the earth's resources for all God's creatures. It prays for the forgiveness of debt, in keeping with the Jubilee mandate for the restoration of economic equity. It prays for deliverance from evil, freedom from exploitation, oppression, and violence. And what if our prayer is not answered right away? If that reign of God does not miraculously appear once we've said the magic words of the prayer of Jesus, then what? Why, we pray the prayer again, and again, and again. You get the picture. Actually, of course, a genuine Christian prayer has nothing to do with rehearsing a magic formula. It is not said in order to evoke a supernatural response. Genuine Christian prayers are not meant to be written on lucky charms tucked under your pillow or hung around your neck. Genuine Christian prayers are simply articulations of heartfelt longings that resonate with the will of God for a reign of justice and compassion on earth as in heaven. And when that longing settles in our hearts, we will consistently and persistently pray for God's will to be done, and we'll start living our lives to that end as well. The prophet Jeremiah had something similar in mind in describing the covenant between God and the people in its ideal form. We saw that description in our reading from Jeremiah this morning. And this ideal covenant would not be an arrangement shaped simply by a deal in which each party has certain obligations. This covenant would be a collaboration in which both parties resonate with the same ethos, the same purpose, the same spirit. Jeremiah has God saying, I will put my will within the people. I'll write it on their hearts. Well, perhaps this is the part of my sermon where the pious rhetoric is going to rub you the wrong way a little bit, or maybe put you to sleep. God writing on our hearts, give us a break. But remember, many of the writers of books in the Bible were poets, and especially the ancient prophets. And the metaphor of having the purposes of God written on our hearts is a rather lovely way of describing our capacity to embrace and incorporate a longing for that which is right and good, and then a determination to seek justice and live with compassion. And we all have this capacity. It's God-given, so to speak. Persons who acknowledge that they have this capacity are persons of faith. Now, when we choose to gather ourselves into communities of persons of faith, the function of the community is to encourage and facilitate the blossoming of our capacity to seek justice and live with compassion. And our faith community here at TSB is meant to do exactly that. Even though it has its institutional flaws and organizational failings, the beast we know as TSB is here to help us be the best we can as persons of faith. It's here to encourage us to be persistent in praying and working for justice, so that we will find great joy in being the persons we are meant to be. When it is at its finest, our community faith is such a facilitator of well-being for ourselves as well as for those whom we serve. I believe that our programs and our ministry initiatives have this facilitation at heart, which makes it then a joy to participate in the work we do together. Currently, as we've been highlighting each week, the last few weeks, we're underway with our season for commitment. And our stewardship team is being persistent in inviting all of us to participate, inviting everyone to join in one of the gatherings, inviting everyone into the discernment of making contributions that we each can make to the work that we do together. Yesterday was World Food Day. Our faith communities working together have been persistent not only in praying for daily bread for all, but also in advocacy and action toward a just distribution of food around the world. In Canada, we have the church-based Canadian Food Grains Bank, working not just to provide emergency food relief, but also playing an important role in working towards food security in many places around the world. And of course, we have the good folk at Kairos. Talk about persistence. From the heady days, some of us remember these days very well, from the heady days of the original 10 days tour for world development, through several stages of ecumenical coalitions and other gatherings, to today's skeleton staff of persistent advocates, Kairos continues to do important research and provides us with essential resources about issues like food security and our relationship with the land. Everything that we do together in the wider network of faith communities or in the ministry of our own congregation requires persistence as we face each task. But this is not a matter of forcing a reluctant body to make yet another half-hearted kick at the proverbial can, but rather it's a continuing, full-hearted, spirited effort based on a profound longing for justice and a deep determination to bring about a reign of compassion on earth as it is in heaven. May our life at TSP be characterized by such persistence. And may we find great joy in the work that we do together. Amen.